We're going to talk about marriage. You know, this is a tough subject to talk about because marriage is tough. Me and Robin have been together 20 years now. We've been married 15 years. And I can honestly say in our marriage that we've probably had every bit as many valleys as we have mountains. But you know, when we're in the valley, we know there's a mountain on the other side. It hasn't always been easy. You know, first service flowed real smooth for me. And sometimes when you do two services, you know, you hope the second one does. Well, I don't have to hope the second one does because I know that the Holy Spirit lives in me. And then he'll bring to my remembrance everything that he has told me to give to you guys today. So before I get started, though, I want to pray. And I want to just ask for his grace and just for what he's supposed to do through me. Father God, I love you. Father, I thank you this morning for the word that you've placed in my heart. I thank you that you've given me a gift, the Holy Spirit, to bring to my remembrance everything that you've said to me. Lord God, everything that you've given for me to speak to your people today. Lord, help me to speak with grace and with love. Father, I love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you go into marriage, when me and Robin met, I'll guarantee that when we first met, we never looked at each other and we said, I can't wait for one of us to commit adultery. I can't wait to have a couple of kids and then have a bitter, just harsh divorce to just split everything up and separate. We don't say that when we go into marriage, do we? We don't say that at all. But you know, the world teaches us nowadays that marriage is something that is disposable. You know, in our house, I've got some awesome things in my house. I've got a magic sink. I've got a magic washer and dryer. And it's really cool because my wife was gone for the last week. So, you know, she came home Friday and me and my youngest one were home alone. We came to celebrate recovery Friday and Robin got home about 5:30. Well, and I left a bunch of laundry on the couch a little bit, a couple stacks. And it was all clean, but it was really cool because when I got home from Celebrate Recovery, that laundry had magically been put in my dresser drawer and hung in my closet. And it was amazing because I've got like magic clothes. They just go where they're supposed to go. And I've also noticed I have a magic sink. It's really neat. Me and my daughter obviously cannot aim our toothpaste when we brush our teeth at all. None. Because we headed for Celebrate Recovery. And I'm like, brush your teeth, Amy. We're going out. You know, let's get rid of that yuck mouth. And I noticed there's toothpaste everywhere. Well, I came home from Celebrate Recovery, and it was gone. And I'm like, praise you, Jesus, I have a magic sink. And he said, no, you have a wonderful wife. He said, you have a woman who loves you, a woman who is raising you, just like you're one of her very own children. But you know, so many times in marriage, we have these expectations and these unrealistic beliefs that they're supposed to do that. And then sometimes in marriages, we have these little things that come in, like me leaving the clothes there, me not cleaning up. And yeah, you know, I did only leave two forks in the sink, but that's because we ate out every night. So the magic dishwasher didn't really have to, you know, do much magic. But you know, me and Robin have had a lot of hard times in our marriage. We had many, many years where due to our choices and the enemy, you know, because the enemy wants to destroy homes. He wants to pull marriages apart. You know why? Because if he can tear apart the family, he can destroy a lot of things. You know, the world teaches us a big lie, too. You know what the world teaches us? The opposite of what God teaches us. God ordained marriage as one man and one woman, correct? What does the world teach us? Anything goes. The world teaches us the complete opposite of what God does. Complete opposite. It's crazy. When you watch TV, 91% of all love scenes, all sex scenes, all intimacy, 91% of those are either adultery or out of wedlock in every TV show we watch. First service, I got my math wrong and I was corrected by a 10-year-old. It was great. I said the other 8% are actually, you know, they teach us the right thing. He said 8 plus 91 is not 100, Jason. I said, my bad. Oops. But 91% of TV shows, every time they show a sex scene, every time they show someone kissing, it is either adultery or it is out of wedlock. That is not what God says, is it? 45% of all marriages who start out having premarital sex or living together into divorce. Because it is a myth and a complete lie that you have to try the milk before you buy the cow. That is not true. See, in our relationships, before we're married, there's two things that we do. We either sin together or we honor God together. Period. That's it. You're either sinning together or you're honoring God. And you have to make a choice. I had the honor and privilege of doing some premarital counseling with a couple, three or four weeks ago. You know, and when we come to Christ, you know, I hear a lot of cliches. Hear a lot of this, but I don't see a lot of this, what I'm fixing to tell you. So this man and this woman, they had been dating and living together for 6 years. I'm doing everything completely the opposite of what God asks us to do when it comes to relationships. So this young man got saved and this woman got saved. And from the day they got saved, they quit sleeping together. That is amazing. After 6 years of that being their comfort zone, of being normal life. See, you know why? Because they got born again. They got born again. And God does a change from the inside out. The inside of them changed. And then they realized that what they were doing was sinning together. And it made it so easy when I sat down with this couple. Because you always have to talk about fornicating, premarital sex. When you're going to do premarital counseling. And usually like, okay, you need to stop doing that now. They said, we've already stopped. And I said, you guys rock. You guys are awesome. Because they have had an experience with Jesus Christ. And they're changed. They're different people. And it made it so easy. Made it so much easier. So, you know, when me and Robin first got together, we loved each other. Me and Robin fell in love really quickly. On our second date, I proposed to Robin like this. I said, can I keep you? That is not your typical proposal, but in case you hadn't noticed, I'm probably not your typical guy. And she said yes. On our second date, she was 16. I was 21. If a 21-year-old tries to date my 16-year-old, are they in here? I will break their neck. And if I don't, Big Tony Van Atten will take care of it for me. He already told me that he would do that. He gave me his word that he would handle that for me. Because it's not going to happen. But me and Robin fell in love. Because, you know, when you think about marriage, why do we get married? Because we love each other. That's why we get married. Me and Robin got married because we fell in love. And so, see, we fell in love. And a lot of you guys have fallen in love and you've gotten married. And the world tells us another lie. The world tells us that love is a feeling that comes and goes. You know, I've heard this phrase a lot of times. I've heard, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Can anybody explain what that means? I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. I can tell you what that means. It's a cop out. It's an easy way out. I love you, but I'm not in love. So I'm going to pack, tuck tail and run because I'm not willing to fight for this. I'm not willing to make any changes. I'm not willing to accept the things that I cannot change in you. You know, in a relationship, see, I have a praying wife instead of a nagging wife. I can't say she's always been that way, but I'm thankful she is now. Because you see, there's a difference. There's a lot of things about me that need to change, believe it or not. There are. And instead of my wife doing this in my ear, she prays and the one who lives inside of me makes the changes. See, because I'll hear his voice and listen to it. And sometimes when our, you know, men, and don't tell me you don't nag too, whatever. Get off Facebook and pay attention to me. I love you, women. Why are you always on your phone? You know, what about when you come in and they always throw their dirty underwear in the same spot? Doesn't that drive you nuts? You know, there's been people get divorced over that. There has. I'm serious. There's been people get divorced over that pair of stanky underwear sitting in the corner. Absolutely. Because they have no grace. So me and Robin got married because we loved each other, though. You know, and I love to see the difference in a praying spouse and a nagging spouse. A praying spouse will make a difference in a relationship. Absolutely. Make a huge difference in a relationship. So there are certain things about me that probably needed to change. So Robin knows the one who lives in me. And she knows that he's greater than the one who lives in the world. So she probably prays a whole lot. A whole lot for me. But, you know, when in our homes, The world tells us that love is a feeling that comes and goes, okay? So if that's the case, love will never hold a marriage together, will it? If it's a feeling that just goes away, love is a choice. I choose to love Robin every day of my life. Every day I choose to love her. Because love has to be a choice. I want to read something to you. And I know a lot of you have said this and a lot of you have heard this. This is powerful stuff right here. I, Jason, take you, Robin, to be my lawful wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. Isn't that strong? That means so much. It should. But nowadays, it's just a phrase that we say that has no meaning. One of the parts that to me means so much is to have and to hold. You know, one of the things that we lack is that have and hold in our home, because we go to work and we're tired and we come home. And when we come home, all we want to do is give our family the leftover. You know, we're like, you know, leave me alone. I'm tired. I've worked all day, so I'm tired. So we gripe, we bicker, and we complain. But see, that's not what love is at all. God's definition of love is the complete opposite of the world's definition. I want to read to you what God's definition is. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. If you got your phones, your YouVersion app, because I didn't get here early enough to give them the scriptures. So turn in your Bibles with me. I'll give you a second to get there. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5 I want to read. I want to tell you what God's definition of love is this morning. I still hear pages flipping. Do you guys believe that love is just a feeling that comes and goes? Because that's what we're taught, isn't it? We're taught that when things get tough, that we can just move on. Next. I've heard the phrase before. I'm looking for my next future ex-wife. What is that? Walking in expecting failure. Do you walk into your new job expecting failure, or do you expect raises and to excel? You do. So why shouldn't we walk into our marriage expecting to excel and to grow? And I've heard somebody say that, and I'm like, man, that's crazy. I don't quite understand that. Are you there with me? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. Here's what God says about love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Did you know that in our tongue is the power of life and death? How do you speak to your spouse? Very carefully. I'm not going to touch your marriage today. I might next week. I've heard your guys' story. I love it. It is not proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wronged. Is that anything that the world says love is? It isn't, is it? I love this part right here. It is not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wronged. See, in mine and Robin's relationship, we had a lot of problems. A lot. But you know, part of the reason why we've been married 15 years is because from the point that we got saved and we got born again, we never say, you remember that time when you, do you remember that, you know, you remember that time? No, because love keeps no record of wrong. Because love keeps no record of wrong. Love is not, does not demand its own way. So when you come home from work, do you just kick back in the recliner and shake your tea glass? Can I get a sandwich in the remote, please? I've had a hard day. Or is this a partnership? Because that's what marriage is a partnership. It's not something where I come home and I give 50% and she gives 50%. It's something where if I don't give 100%, why do I expect her to give 100%? Because 50% is only giving half. And I've heard that. Well, I'm doing my half. I'm giving my 50%. So you're only giving half? Aren't we glad that God gave everything? He gave everything. So we got married because we loved each other. See, and the world told us that we should have been divorced a long time ago, that we didn't have to stay married because we've done everything and anything to destroy this relationship. But see, I know one who comes in and redeems, one who comes in and brings redemption to a marriage, just like he did in my own life. So how can I look at my marriage and say this is over when God didn't look at me and say it's over? He looked at me and said, I'll give you a second chance, Jason, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance. Does that make sense? But so many times we can't get over those little things. So we run. We run. See, I'm going to fight for my marriage. I'm going to fight with everything inside of me. And I'm going to make the changes that I need to make this marriage work. Because see, what I'm going to worry about in my relationship is me being the right person instead of looking for the right person. See, maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to be the right person instead of trying to find the right person. You know, if we keep going fishing, we're going to catch fish, right? And we keep throwing them back and fishing for another one, but we're changing nothing about ourselves. Be the right person. No person can make me complete. My wife is pretty awesome, but she cannot make me complete. Only Christ can. So see, we love each other, right? But you know, going into this relationship, my wife can only meet 80% of my needs. Period. It's not possible for a person to meet 100% of your needs. So going into a relationship, we've been in this for 10 years, you know, 15 years. And then all of a sudden, I start thinking about that 20% that's not met. I think the grass is greener on the other side. Did you know that if you water your own lawn and mow it, it'll be a pretty yard too? But if you put no fertilizer in your own grass, then weeds are going to pop up. Your yard's going to die. So we start looking for that 20% is what we start doing. Because there's certain things, certain areas that she just can't meet my need. And instead of going to God for that, I look to another person. Because we've been married 15 years, you know, maybe you've had three kids and life changes things. So you look at that little 20-year-old and you're like, hey, what up, girl? You're 50. Why are you looking at a 20-year-old, man? That is so wrong in so many different ways. It is so wrong. Wandering eyes, man. Stop them. Catch it. Look at your wife with that lustful eye. With that, hey, what up, girl? Like you did that 20-year-old. So I want to give you some different ways of how we stay married, which brings me to a very neat point today I'm going to make. We need to keep it exciting. We need to keep it exciting. We need to bring... By the way, this is the part why you're going to remember why you send your children to children's church here in just a few minutes. Because I'm just going to keep it real. We need to keep it exciting. You know, the world has taken sex and intimacy and put it into a pornographic picture. That is not real. Why are we letting the world teach us through porn what intimacy is? Why are we not taking the Bible and God? You know, there's a book in the Bible that's going to make you blush. It's going to tell you some awesome, beautiful things about intimacy in a relationship. Song of Solomon. You ever read that? I'm going to read a little bit of it to you today. I'm going to start reading. I'll stop when I look up and see you blushing, okay? When you start blushing, I'll stop. But remember, it comes out of the book. It's out of the Bible, okay? Because the world can put it all over TV and it can put it everywhere, but we can't talk about it in church. Something's wrong. I'm going to present it to you today from God's perspective is what I'm going to do. Instead of the world's. Turn with me in Song of Solomon to chapter 7. As we turn to Song of Solomon chapter 7, I'm going to read you something here. I'm going to start in verse 6 and I'll stop when I see at least three people blushing. Okay? You know, God is awesome. He has put everything in here that we need to keep our marriages exciting, to keep them pure. What about in your life? Has that sizzle turned to fizzle? You know, you used to come in and you're like, hey, girl. Used to send a little text. Don't be sending pictures. Used to send little text messages. Used to send text messages and flirt with each other when you come in like third base. Good game, girl. Love you. I smacked my wife in the butt one day when she was coming up or off the stage and somebody said, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, why not? That's been my wife for 15 years. You want me looking at the 20-year-old or smacking my wife on the butt? I still love my wife very dearly, and I will until death do us part. And I want to keep our marriage exciting. I want to keep the sizzle in my marriage so that when some guy comes along and he starts flirting with my wife, because it happens all the time. Some people have this theory that God designed it where you have one perfect mate and that's it. That cannot be true, because if that was true and one person married the wrong person, the whole plan just got thrown out of whack, right? Okay, so it won't work. So in life, there's going to be people that you're attracted to always. There's going to be dudes that be flirting with my wife. I'll smack you. There's people, women that I come in contact with that there's obviously a connection and you try to avoid the flirt. You know what I'm saying? That's life. There's going to be people that come in your life that you have an attraction to. Guard yourself. Guard your marriage. Keep it exciting only at home. Hey, when you come home, try kissing your wife. Try kissing your husband. Before you go to work, instead of just running out the door, keep it exciting. Go up and give him a kiss. Don't pat her on the head like your dog. Bye, see you later. So she told me one time, you're patting me like you do the dog. I'm like, oh, my bad. Give her a little kiss. If you ain't married, don't be kissing too long. If you ain't married, girls, let me tell you something. A guy's hands, there's something wrong with our muscles, okay, and our arms. There's something wrong. Bad wrong. You start kissing and you rub it down the lower. A guy's hands can only stay there so long. There's something wrong with us. Young ladies, a man can only go as far as you'll let him go. You are precious and you are God's child, and do not let them go too far. If they continue to pressure you, dump him because he's a loser. He is not going to respect you after you're married because he's not respecting you now. Do not tolerate it because you are special. This is something special that is saved for marriage. And when you wait until you're married, it is going to be amazing because God designed it that way. Anything God designed is amazing. Don't let him do that. If he still continues, find Tony Van Atten. He'll break his neck. Tony gave me a hug this morning. He about broke my neck. And I thought, this is the guy that's going to protect my daughters. Yay. I'm so excited about that. I'm serious, though. Young ladies, you're valuable. Young men, respect these young ladies. Show them the respect that they deserve. Wait. Wait and see how God can bless a marriage. I don't know if I already told you this at first service, so I'll say it again because sometimes I can't remember because I've been in recovery for a long time and I'm working on all this. So we're going to start over. Let's backtrack, flip-flop, and try it again. You ready? Okay. 40-something percent of all marriages that start out sinning, living together, premarital sex, and a divorce. Period. Because in a relationship, there's two things you're going to do. You're either going to honor God or you're going to sin. So in your relationship, before you're married, how do you want to handle this? Do you want to go into a marriage honoring God, or do you want to start out living in sin? Because when you start out living in sin, it's a lot harder to get out of it. It's hard. As a matter of fact, I've only met one couple ever that has told me that they stopped. Ever. In 10 years that I've been walking with Christ and dealing with people in recovery and all that, one couple said from the time we got saved, we stopped doing that. Wow. That's hard, isn't it? Because it's just so easy of the routine. But did you know you don't have to stop doing something if you never start? Doesn't that make it easier? If you never start doing it, you don't have to stop doing it. So I've gotten sidetracked 4 or 5 times. Let me go back to sizzle to fizzle. Let's take the fizzle in your relationship and let's put a little sizzle, okay? You should be loving on your spouse, kissing on them, rubbing on them, touch, I love you. Do you remember when you first got together? Could not keep your hands to yourself. 4, or some of you 10 kids later. Love you, brother. Their marriage is going to be okay. They got sizzle. They've got sizzle. I'm going to read something to you, okay? Song of Solomon, chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 6. This is the way we're to speak to our ladies. Oh, how beautiful you are. How pleasing, my love. How full of delights. You are slender like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its cluster of fruit. I said, I will climb the palm tree and take hold of its fruit. May your breast be like grape clusters, and the fragrance of your breath like apples. She used a toothbrush. It was amazing. hygiene. You can, oh yeah, a toothbrush. Keep it exciting. May your kisses be as exciting as the best wine. I'm not going to explain all that because I'm hoping that you can on your own, but I can if I need to. See, because, and there's one example in there in Song of Solomon where he talks about the breast of a young lady being like two twin deers, two fawns. You guys deer hunt? I don't either. But when you head out into the woods and you're sneaking up on that deer, you're very gentle and quiet, aren't you? You're very smooth. You don't go, honka, honka, I'm going to get you. You just don't do that. So he's even teaching a young man how to be respectful is what he's doing. And that's what he's doing. Because guys, it just ain't going to work. If you ain't married, man, don't be doing that anyway. How do you talk to your wife? How do you talk to your spouse? Do you tell her that she's beautiful still? Or do you criticize her because you're the reason she had four kids? You're the reason her body's changed. Love her anyway. She deserves it. My wife loves me anyway. Oh, how beautiful you are. How pleasing, my love. How full of delights. You are slender like a palm tree, and your breasts are like the cluster of fruit. I said I will climb the palm tree and take hold of its fruit. May your breasts be like grape clusters, and the fragrance of your breath like apples. May your kisses be as exciting as the best wine. Do not let pornography lead the way in your home, but let God's word. If you lack sizzle in your relationship, read Song of Solomon. And let it become alive to you. Let it teach you how you're supposed to respect and speak to your woman. Let it. It's not something to be embarrassed of. It's not something to be ashamed of when you're married. It's a beautiful thing that God has created. I'm going to stay married. I want to keep sizzle in my home. You know, and when you go lock the bedroom door, you know, and you've got kids, so you better lock the door. The kids will be like, oh, that's so gross. Did you know when they're adults, they'll remember that you guys loved each other? They'll remember that you guys spent time alone and loved each other. Not when you're yelling at them, quit knocking on the door. But they will. Every one of you have done that to have kids. Do not lie to me. Oh, and I know you have. Keep the sizzle in the relationship. Keep it exciting. You have to. If you're not married, you better know. If you're not married, you should have no sexual relationship. Period. Is that pretty much, do you understand what that means? Or do I need to explain it? Because I don't mind explaining things. I really don't. And you know, when I understand up until this point, we've all made mistakes. But here's the thing about Christ. From this point forward, everything can be made new. Because you see, if anyone, I just went completely blank. Here, let me look it up. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. From this point forward, if you're not married, make a commitment. Make a commitment to make all things new. In 10 years, I've had one couple that have done this. You don't have to try the milk before you buy the cow. And if you do, the milk's probably going to go sour in a few years anyway. And then you're going to want a new cow. So how do you speak when you come home? Do you speak with love? Do you speak with grace? Or is everything... Do you know what it means to browbeat somebody? I had a person after first service who asked me to come speak with them. Because they just filed their divorce papers and they said, for 10 years, he's been physically abusive to me. He's been beating on me, beating on the kids. I'm not telling you to stay in that relationship at all. None whatsoever. But what I am going to tell you, that if you want to make it, you have to forgive easily and you have to forgive always. In a marriage, we have to forgive easily and we have to forgive always. I'm not giving you a free rein that if your spouse has committed adultery, to just say, hey, go on. But what I'm telling you is you need to forgive and set boundaries. There needs to be boundaries set. Trust has to be earned back. Me and Robin share a Facebook account. She has free rein to my phone. I have free reign to her phone. We have open access to every aspect of each other's lives because we have nothing to hide. But we had to do a lot of forgiving. And it took time to build that trust back. You know, and there's still days in my mind, I'll see something and it'll trigger something and the enemy will try to bring back that lack of trust. She's a woman of God. I can trust her 100%. She's not the same person she used to be. So in a relationship, we have to forgive easily and forgive always. Remember what love said? Love keeps no records of wrongs. It doesn't. Why did I get married? Because I love her. Love keeps no records of wrongs. A marriage is not a disposable tin can that we recycle and try again later. A marriage is something that we fight for. Something that it should be until death do us part. Ephesians 4:32. It tells us, be kind to each other and tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgave you. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. See, because freely I have received, so freely I should give. And it sounds easier than it is sometimes, right? You know, this lady, she said, I just can't. And I said, you just have to. Because when we forgive that person, we're not doing it for them. We're doing it so that we can be free. We had a testimony Friday night, and it was amazing. This young man stood up here, and he shared how at 7 years old, he had tried to commit suicide, and he got locked up in an institution for 6 months, and this person molested him for years. And he said, I forgave that person. And he glows with the joy of Christ. He forgave that person. He said, but I can never go to that person and look at him and talk to him. But he's free from the bondage of that now. In my marriage, there's a lot of things that I do that she forgives me for still. Or we can always linger and hold that little grudge for those little things. See, because the enemy just doesn't come in one day and say, all right, I'm going to divorce you, Robin. I'm done. There's a series of events that lead to that, isn't there? Little grudges, little offenses. You ever split wood? You guys split wood. Some people have seen wood split. So you get to splitting them all, right? And it starts out with this little point. There's the first offense. And every time an offense comes, it drives that wedge deeper and deeper into the wood. Deeper and deeper into our relationship. Until finally it goes deep enough that there's two separate pieces of wood laying there. All alone. Is that happening in your home today? Is that what's happening in the relationships that we're in? Ephesians 4:26, it says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. You know, and I've done it, we've done it, we've been guilty of it. You know, when you get mad and you go to the other room, you go sleep on the couch. Go in there and kiss and make up. You know what? Kissing and make up is usually pretty cool. It is, isn't it? Or we can just stay mad and give the enemy a foothold because there's one that he actually got to drive in. You know, if we forgive and we move on and we make amends, he didn't get to swing on that and drive that wedge in that time. He didn't get to. Eventually, we can pull it out completely. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Another way that we can keep our marriage, stay married, is sowing peace in our home. As I'm getting ready to close this up, Romans 12:18 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. See, as a couple, are we going to get bitter or are we going to get better? Are we going to learn? How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, sit down as a couple and pray together? How many of you sit down together and discuss things and ask for God's guidance? Or how many of us just say, you know, we do our own thing, but we're in the same house? You know, we need to learn to bring all of our troubles to Christ together, to sit down together, pray as a family. Me and Robin have had a lot of times where we don't see eye to eye on things at all. Not even close. But you know, something I can tell you is we're going to walk hand in hand until our vision becomes clear and we learn to see eye to eye. You know, I feel like in my marriage, if I let go of Robin's hand, I'm letting go of the hand of God. Because that's my helpmate that's been sent from Christ. Because we do this as a team. So many times, and sometimes you got to hold on extra tight because you're really not seeing eye to eye. Let her do the squeezing. Come on, be nice. But don't let go. Don't let go at all. We've got to hold on tight. So in closing, I want to tell you something. You know, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You guys have heard that, haven't you? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was a liar. Isaac was a luster. And Jacob was a loser. So what do you have in your home that you don't think God can be the God of? Because he's the God of liars, lusters, and losers. Your spouse isn't that bad. You went into this saying, I take you for my lawful wife. To have and to hold. Keep it exciting. From this day forward, for better or for worse, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be good times. For richer or for poor, there's going to be times when you're broke. There's going to be times when you have money. In sickness and in health, until death do us part. A marriage is not something that is disposable. Love is not a feeling that comes and goes. Love is a choice. Love is not rude. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wronged. I want you guys to think about it this week. What's going on in your home? Are you showing the attributes of God love? Or are you doing the things that the world says? Next week, me and Robert are going to share the stage together. We're going to talk some things. And then we're going to have some couples up here to pray with you. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe your relationship's having a hard time. Maybe you're at that point right now where you're ready to throw the towel in. You say, Jason, you don't know what they've done. We don't hardly have anything left in our house. Everything's been smashed. Everything's been destroyed. Fight for what's left. Start over from this day forward and build something new from what's left. Don't give up. Don't quit. Fight. Our relationship is proof that any marriage can make it. It's proof that our God is a redeemer. Because it's not always easy. There's lots of days when she wants to choke me and I want to go get in the truck and leave. Lots of days when I go out and sit in the chicken pen because they're more peaceful than the house is. But you know what? I go out there and I talk to Jesus. Instead of putting it on Facebook, instead of calling up everybody and spreading it around, I go out there and I talk to my God and I say, God, what's my part in this? What do I need to change, God, so that when I go in here, I can be a peacemaker? What do I need to do? Instead of putting it out there for the world to see. The world doesn't need your garbage. Jesus does. Because he can handle it. You can do this. I want to pray before we close. Before we worship. Father God, I thank you today for your word that's went forth, Lord God. Father, I thank you that it will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which you send it. Lord, I pray for each and every home that's represented today. Lord God, that you shower them with grace. Lord, that you speak to our hearts and help us to see that you are love and what love truly is, Lord God. Help us to be a reflection of you, Christ, in our homes, in our relationships, so that our children can see that marriage is possible in spite, Lord God, of our differences. Lord God, in spite of our bad days, that we can do this and we can make this. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.